See if we got that, yeah. You probably were wondering if I was going to get up here at all today. Good morning. Wisdom from Heaven is our sermon text today. Is our title. James 3:13 through 4:10 is our text. We started 2 weeks ago looking at James. Last week, of course, we had Dan Venberg here who told us a little bit about international mission and kind of spoke from God's Word in that context. And then today and next Sunday we'll be in James again, kind of continuing in that. And what we noted last week, one of the things that we noted is that James, in our reading, maybe is a little bit straightforward as we read it. There's instruction to live well, but there's a little bit of difficulty in interpretation, especially when we kind of try and figure out how this interacts with what we know about salvation being by grace alone, through faith alone. And so there's a sense that it's hard to manage a little bit what James says. And one of the things that he was highlighting as he talks about faith without works being dead, so it doesn't mean anything, is basically this, what we found out 2 weeks ago, that true faith in God means God acting in our lives and giving us a change in our lives. And a changed life means changed behavior. So what he's saying is that if we say we believe, but there's no change in our life, it's hard to believe that there is actually a belief there, right? Only God is the judge of that, but there is an outward change that comes with that. So what we might think is, what we see in a sense is that if we don't see good behavior, well, there may not be faith underneath that, right? Faith is seen as it is acted out. So there are some examples that come with this, and James kind of develops some of these this thinking. And we see some examples that deal with outward behavior, but also how that may reflect or may hide what is on the inside. The text right before this, as we get into we begin in chapter 3, we continue into chapter 4. The beginning of chapter 3 that we're not reading today is maybe a familiar passage to some of you as James talks about the difficulties of taming the tongue and about the power of the tongue and how cautious we should be when we speak. And he talks about how a horse is controlled by the little bit in its mouth, and a ship is controlled by the small rudder that directs where it goes. And he says the tongue is powerful like that. In fact, it can set, like a spark, set everything ablaze. And then he, as we get to our text today, he says, how can we say that we praise God if we curse other people with that same tongue? So he says our actions, our words need to match. And so we continue then on from that as we see how God works in our lives, and we'll see that developed as we get to our text this morning. So our text is from James 3, verse 13 through chapter 4, verse 10. I'll invite you to stand as you are able as I read that this morning. James 3:13 through 4:10, reading in Jesus' name. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word to us, this difficult word in many ways. It causes us to examine how we live our lives. And as we do that in light of this, what we have just read, what we find in your word, I ask that you would work in us and bring us to yourself so we can receive your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite any of the kids that would like to come to the front to come up at this time. All right. We got one more coming up here. Any more want to come up to the front here? Maybe. All right. Okay. I've got a picture here. It's maybe a little bit weird. What do you see there? What is that? Hey, Al. Thanks for coming up. What do you see? What does that look like? You don't have any answer? No? Well, it looks pretty clear to me. Actually, it's a little different than what I intended, but this is it's a girl, right? Or two girls, maybe. You know what? So this is AI generated again. It did a pretty good job. What I asked it for was somebody who looks happy on the outside but is sad on the inside. Yeah, this is what it came up with. I worded it differently before, and those pictures were just kind of weird. So I got this, and we kind of have a sense of, you know, happy, and this is kind of what she's thinking on the inside, right? A little bit sad. Maybe upset about something. So we can kind of see that picture there. I don't know what's going on with the forehead there, but you can figure that out later when you... I don't know what AI is thinking sometimes. Hey, do you guys ever feel a different way on the inside than what you're acting on the outside? Maybe you look happy, but maybe you're kind of upset, right? Maybe somebody says, hey, you need to be happy right now. We're doing something fun. You need to join us and stop complaining, right? And has anybody ever said that to you? Stop complaining. Or don't be angry with your brother or something like that, right? And you want to be, but you have to change your attitude and show something that maybe you're not feeling on the inside, right? Well, what we're thinking about today is what does the inside look like compared to what the outside looks like? And sometimes the inside is good and we want the outside to change. Sometimes the inside is bad. And we put on a good face and we act good, but on the inside, we're still a little bit upset or angry in a way that we shouldn't be. So that's what we're thinking about today. How does God work in us to change that? What does he do? All right. So you can be listening for that. You guys can... Do you want to hand those out? Hand those out to these guys over here? You've got some extras, too. You can maybe pass them out to any of the adults that want them. Or maybe I shouldn't suggest that. That may take a little bit longer. All right, thanks for coming up, guys. You can go back if you want. You're just going to stay up here? Okay, sounds good. All right. Well, as I said, as we're thinking about James and what he tells us about behavior, we might ask the question, how does faith, how does trusting in God, how does that demonstrate itself in our lives? Now, we could answer this in more of an abstract, general way and say, you know, some things like, well, if we're trusting God, we'll be more cheerful, or maybe things that come at us in life won't bother us so much, or maybe we'll be kind to our neighbors. So we can answer that in a general way. We can also answer it in a more concrete, personal way as we think about maybe our own lives and think about, yes, in my own life, where are some interactions with people that maybe I don't do well? Where are some of my choices that I might not do well? So we can think about this in a more personal way, too. So even as James kind of guides us, in some sense, through the general more abstract, and he has some examples as well. But we want to always be thinking about our own lives. How does this speak to us? What does it say about our own behavior? And so we get into some of this from James here. And he starts out and he says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." Now, I think, first of all, there might be a temptation here to say, well, if we understand things kind of in a the way the world talks about wisdom, or just in life in general, we might say, yeah, okay, this is about figuring out how life works, maybe studying some psychology, figuring out how people work and doing things well. But there's a different type of understanding that it's a biblical wisdom and understanding that James is getting at that comes first from faith. A gift of faith that God gives us, trusting in Him. And as we do that, God works in our lives as He speaks to us. And His wisdom then, He gives us His grace, and that gives us the wisdom to act in humility. And so it changes the way we look at things. And that's the type of wisdom that then leads to good action as God works through humility in our life. But James notes here that sometimes, as we say, you know, faith will result, as God works in our lives, will result in good actions. But good actions can sometimes happen where that inside change hasn't taken place. And so that's what James gets to here. "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." So what James is getting at is here, what he was getting at is that we want to look inside in our hearts and see what our attitude is. Because we might be able to fool others as by our action on the outside. We might even think that we can fool God or fool ourselves. But the reality is that God sees what's on the inside of us, and that matters in all of this as well. There are times maybe where we act in such a way that maybe it's something that we might do that looks good on the outside, but it's really serving ourselves. So, you know, I can think of times in my own life where I volunteered to do something, but the main reason why I volunteered to do that is because, well, there's something that comes along with that that I really like. And, you know, it's not bad to have those things go together, but I might look at my reason for doing that and say, was that the right motivation? Or am I really just hiding something on the inside? I really just wanted whatever benefit came from it, and the serving didn't really matter. Or sometimes this is hidden. Sometimes it actually comes out. I'm going to share an example of Freddie and Frank, and their names have been changed to protect the guilty. But Freddie and Frank are two brothers, and you know, one older, one younger. And one day they were sitting on the living room floor playing with some blocks, and their dad was sitting nearby. And as they were playing with the blocks, they were building a tower, and the tower got knocked down. And Frank, the younger brother, came to their dad and said, "Dad, Freddie knocked down my tower." And as dad was watching this happen, it looked like maybe Freddie was really trying to help out. And so he said to Frank, giving Freddie the benefit of the doubt, he said, "You know, I think he was just trying to help you out, and it was an accident." And Freddie turned and said, "No, actually, I just tried to knock it down." All right, well, that was nice to have the honesty. But it reveals what was in the heart, right? Now, as we think about our own lives, we may not be quite so honest about any false motives we might have in our heart as that. We may not brag about what we harbor in our hearts, but we might be happy about it. We might be content to have this as long as we can hide it. We're okay with wrong motives, maybe. Possibly, that could happen. Envy and selfish ambition are the things that James highlights here. How do they show themselves in our lives? What are our priorities in our lives? Envy and selfish ambition are the kinds of things that seek to get for ourselves. We may see this in our lives in general as we set our goals in our life, in our career. We may look for success. We may look for recognition. Or it may simply be in the relationships that we have. We just seek for ourselves as we look at relationships that make us happy as opposed to how we can serve others in our friendships and in our family relationships. And we notice that this often will come out in hypocrisy. And James describes this kind of wisdom that kind of seems to work okay in our lives, but is really hiding something bad inside of us. He calls it demonic wisdom. Yikes. This is not just slightly mistaken. It's demonic wisdom. I think we want to stay away from that. But wisdom from heaven is different. And this is how James describes it. Wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy. All these good things, right? Hard to do, aren't they? But good. Impartial, sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Selfish desires, when wisdom from heaven is given to us, selfish desires are put aside. Helpful actions serving others are done not for personal gain, but in the interest of the others that are being served. The attitude that has wisdom from heaven is one that is submissive. And we don't always necessarily like that word, submissive, being submissive. We want to be independent. But it submits its will to others, to God and to others. We see some other words here, impartial, peace-loving. We might consider this again from a different angle here. And James addresses the people in particular that he's writing to, and in a way us as well. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Now we might pause and ask the question here. Is this an honest description of, if we are honest, do we find this as a description of our community here? Community of joy? Could some of these things be true, quarrels and fights, even at a place called community of joy? Could it ever happen? Well, probably. If we think about it, in fact, I think we might find that most of us, all of us, many of us, in some way, have either hurt or been hurt by others that are around us. It may just simply be something small, maybe a word said here or there, and maybe quickly forgotten because it didn't matter. Maybe something remembered and not too significant, but it's kind of there in the back of our minds. And maybe there are even some cases where it was long-lasting and it has stuck with us and hindered a relationship. Those things can happen, right? And we tend to like to point fingers when those things happen. It's the other person's fault. It's not my fault. Let's go back to Freddie and Frank and add in Eddie. And those may or may not be the same kids that they referred to earlier. But think about Freddie and Frank and Eddie very recently, even as recent as yesterday, acting in such a way that they shouldn't have been acting. And their dad stops them and says, this is not good behavior. And the one says, he was chasing me. That's why I ran away and was doing what I shouldn't be doing. And so turn to the other one. Well, he was doing something wrong, and they were both doing something wrong, and I told them to stop, and they wouldn't stop, so I started chasing them. And so there's all this back and forth about who was wrong and who did what. Well, these are kids, the behavior of kids that I'm referring to. And we adults tend to, often we can hide it a little bit more than that. It's not so obvious. But maybe the things are very similar, really, when it comes down to it. What is the reason for this? And maybe we say, as we first read James' reasoning, we say, oh, that doesn't really apply to me. He says, you desire but do not have, so you kill. Whoa, is it really that bad? Well, not literally, probably, but something like it, maybe. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. And I think if we're honest, we might say that even sometimes the things that maybe we feel like we desire these things for good, for others, they might really have a tinge of something selfish in them. Quarrels come from desires that are not really godly. Even some of the things that we may intend as good. So what about those? Maybe I'll just pull on some of those cliche quarrels from the modern church. Things about the color of the carpet or the style of worship music that people have gotten into fights about. You know, those, I guess we hear that all the time, is kind of brought up as the way the conflicts come to churches. Well, those are some examples, maybe. And maybe they don't happen all that often. But those can, the other things can happen that way as well. What is the root of all of this? James says, you do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Now, that might bring to mind getting financial gain, and that might be part of it here. And only wanting to use that for ourselves. There's something impure about our asking, and so we do not receive. Actually, next week's text deals a little bit more about that, and we'll get into that a little bit more next week. But we notice that our motives are not often right. And this is how James addresses the people. He now turns to them, to us, and says, "You adulterous people." Now, we might ask, what is he talking about here? Well, he's not meaning literally adulterous, as in a marriage relationship that has been broken by adultery. It's a figure of speech, and it's used in the Old Testament quite often as God refers to His rebellious people as an adulterous spouse. Turning away from Him is pictured as being adulterous as a people. We belong to God, and so turning away is like an adulterous relationship. James says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity with God, enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." Now, it's important to point out here that what James is not talking about is being friends with people who are not believers. That's not what he's talking about. He doesn't mean being a friend with someone who's not a Christian means being an enemy of God. What he's talking about is, as he talks about the world, what he means is the desires and the worldview that we see around us that are opposed to God. And some of them can seem subtle and relatively innocent, but as in some of the desires that we pursue in life, as career, success, reputation, things like that, wealth, some of them can seem somewhat innocent sometimes, and maybe sometimes they are. But if those are the things that are priorities in life, James says we are enemies of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that He jealously longs for the Spirit He caused to dwell in us? Now, I want to just point out here that a difference between jealousy and envy. Envy is always wrong. It's desiring something that we don't have and even wishing bad on other people, maybe so that in order that we can get it. Jealousy, though, is wanting what we believe belongs to us and is being taken away. Now, sometimes we're right about that. It does belong to us. Sometimes we're wrong. If a husband and wife, marriage relationship, if a spouse is unfaithful, the other one will be jealous, and that's right. It's right for that person to be jealous. Sometimes, though, our ideas can be mistaken about something or someone belonging to us and even the situation. And so we can be wrong in our jealousy. But God is always right in His jealousy because we do belong to Him. He longs, James says, for our spirits, the spirits that He caused to dwell within us. He longs for that. We belong to Him. He created our relationship. And God seeks after us. And really, that's good news. Even though we behave in this way, in this adulterous way, in a sense, He gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. So how do we find wisdom from heaven? How do we find a wisdom that results in good behavior and also good on the inside? And it begins with humility. And we get to that idea of submit again. James says, submit yourselves then to God. We don't like to submit, but with God, it's a good thing. We can trust Him. There are two directions pulling on us to here. How do we respond to them? We have evil, the devil on one side, and we have God on the other side pulling at us. James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to God. With God's grace, he does allow us to resist the devil, resist demonic wisdom that doesn't come from God, that comes from the world. Resist looking at the outside behavior when really we are still have envy and selfish ambition on the inside. God invites us to come near to him, to battle against that. How? Well, he says, wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Admit to what we do. We may just do that internally as we pray to God. There may be an appropriate time to come to somebody else, to confess our sins to somebody else. And then James goes even a little farther than that. He says, grieve, mourn, and wail. Oftentimes we'll hear in Scripture about mourning turning to joy. But here he says, change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Well, what is he talking about? Well, in this case, he's talking about our lightheartedness over our sin and rebellion. Sin is nothing to be laughed at. So don't take it in a lighthearted way. Instead, mourn over our sinful natures. But then, we have good news again. Humble yourselves before God, and he will lift you up. As we mourn over our sinful actions, our inside that is not right, even though our outside may look like it, as we humble ourselves, he will lift us up. So why live with hidden envy? Why live with a fake reputation? That is demonic wisdom. Instead, come to God in humility as he invites us to. He invites us to do that. So let's consider our lives. Consider your life in terms of what James says here. What parts of your life are not right? First on the outside that are obvious, but really then going on the inside and asking, where are our motivations not right? And then when we do that, we have the offer to receive God's gift of heavenly wisdom. Humble yourself before God. Come near to him. He will come near to you. He will lift you up to be with him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this gracious gift of being able to look at our lives. Thank you for the gift of faith in trusting what Jesus has done for us. And as we need to continually come back to our lives and just to examine our behavior, but also our hearts. And as we find things in our hearts that are not pleasing to you, I ask that you would help us to turn to you, confess those things, and turn from our rebellion and turn to you. Thank you that you are ready to receive us, to come near to us, to lift us up, to encourage us, to give us life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.